Thank you, Walter. But if you haven't discovered them yet, they're marvelous. Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. It's good to be back again. And the saints in Marble Hill send their greetings. Most of them don't know what's going on, but they're glad to be there anyway. It's terrible. There's at least five of the saints there that have developed Alzheimer's since I was there last time. It's sad to see, but when you get old, things change. And you're looking at it right now. I would like, let's see, somewhere. I don't know. I may have to wing this one without notes. I don't know where my notes are. Oh, here they are. Don't say it. Now, I know it's not quite Thanksgiving Day yet, but I figure that if our brother can sing Christmas songs 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we can talk about Thanksgiving 4 days in advance. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? Just for fun, I Googled Thanksgiving, and you can find a plethora of information on the internet. And most of you probably know by now that you want anything you want to know, it's out there. So I Googled Thanksgiving, and I found out how to cook a turkey, which doesn't mean anything to me, making pies, traveling, flying, driving, decorating, store sales, Black Friday, all this stuff was on there. But not one thing that I find initially about thanking God for anything. Hmm. So I had to look up Thanksgiving Day as a proclamation. Originally, I think we all know that it was set aside the pilgrims. After their first year in the Promised Land, they had a hard year. Their money was stolen before they left England. They ran into bad weather. The ship was delayed in sailing. They never even landed where they intended to land. They weren't supposed to land Plymouth. They were going to land in Virginia. But the wind and the rain and the storms blew them aside. And then the first year, many died. But the next year, those who survived held a special feast to thank God that they survived and they were in their new home. And the governor of Plymouth, William Bradford, issued a proclamation, and I'll read it to you. He said, "I, William Bradford, governor of Plymouth, say ye shall gather with one accord and hold the month of November a thanksgiving unto the Lord." The pilgrims certainly had the ability and the willingness to give thanks under any and all circumstances. And that's not easy to do, is it? It's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. I was telling someone last weekend, my low point, this has been a year to forget, but my low point, I remember that, it's etched in my memory. In the middle of the night, and you're braced, you can't move, you're stuck in bed, you can't turn over, you can't get up. I've been there for 4 weeks with a tube going up my nose and down my throat, and I can't breathe anyway. And I thought, this has got to be the worst. This is the end. But the Lord stepped in and took care of things. But there are times coming when the scripture that tells us that we should give thanks in everything and for everything sometimes makes it difficult. I have to say that. I mean, we don't like to admit it, I think. We want everybody to think that we are very much in theme with God. But I think there are times, if you want to admit to yourself, when you find it hard to give thanks. If you've had a normal life. Webster says that thanksgiving is the act of rendering thanks, especially to God. I like that. He put that in there. A public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness and mercies. And that's what it was when they first did it. And Abraham Lincoln made it official in 1863. He set the last Thursday in November as a day that would be called Thanksgiving. And I read what he said, and I want to read that because I think this is interesting. First of all, he wanted to give thanks for recent military victories. It was in the midst of the Civil War, as you remember. And then he wanted to explicitly make mention of humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. When I read that, I thought, whoa, maybe we should consider doing that a little bit more. Our national perverseness and disobedience. And I think we can still give thanks for that. The psalmist, let's read together in Psalm 92, verse 1. The psalmist is so thankful that he verbalizes it and it overflows. He says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." In other words, all day. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for a blessing? I met a lady down in Florida who carried a notebook with her everywhere she went. And when something happened that she considered a blessing, she just immediately wrote it down in the notebook. And so she wouldn't forget the blessings, and then she gave thanks for them every day. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool to remember those things. We're admonished in the scriptures, in the Psalms also, to forget not the benefits that God bestows upon us. And the word that's used there for forget is to literally mislay for want of attention. In other words, you haven't done it or used it in so long you forgot where it is. Now, I'll admit that I have that problem. I may not use my phone for 5 minutes. I still can't remember where it was, Wally. But to forget the blessings, the benefits that God bestows upon us from lack of doing it. He just keeps giving you these blessings and benefits. You're here today, you're alive, and you're breathing. I remember Mike Price always gives thanks to God for his next breath. He said that God is not only saves us, but he sustains us, does he not? Amen. By the word of his power. Someone has said if we take his mind off of you for 1 minute, you'd cease to exist. But all I know is that God sustains us. He keeps everything together by his power. The world that we live in. He provides the oxygen for us to breathe. He keeps the heart pumping. We have so much to be thankful for. And yet we neglect giving thanks. The scripture says in Psalm 95 that we should come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. In Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in every good thing, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By the way, if you search the word thanksgiving, you'll find it numerous times throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Now, if your memory's like mine, it's a little bit far from trustworthy. I have found, when I got my phone, which I forgot to bring in, by the way, it's in the car. When I got my phone, my kids said, "You're going to love this." I said, "No, I don't. I already don't love it. Can't stand it. Now I can't live without it because I put all my things in there now to remind me that I've got a doctor's appointment, a dentist appointment." If it wasn't for doctor's appointment, I wouldn't go anywhere, Walter. Anyway, you're familiar with that. So I have to write things down. I have to keep tabs. I have three calendars that I write on. One of them is a big desk calendar that's right in front of me all the time. If it ain't written on there, it may not happen. Someone has said there are three things that happen when you get old. One is loss of memory, and I can't remember the other two. Memory can be selective. Sometimes we remember things that don't mean a thing. Politicians have that problem. Have you ever noticed? They keep saying a lot about, "I don't recall. I don't recall." But now they say it and it's on film and they can't say they never said it. I like that part. Anyway, David, when he says don't forget his benefits, I thought about an old hymn that we used to sing. It says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." I haven't sung that for a while. but I remember that very well. To count your blessings. When's the last time we've done that? Just took time to count our blessings. You know, in Psalm 68, he says, "Blessed be God, who daily loadeth us with benefits." He loads us with benefits, not just doles them out, but he loads them. The word for load that's used there is a strong word. It literally means to burden. God burdens you with benefits every day. I mean, I don't know if you've ever felt that or not. I usually feel burdened with bad things, but it says, no, God burdens you with good things. And we don't thank him for them. I think David recognized his own shortcomings in memory. Now, probably some of you out there have no problem with your memory. You don't forget things. You don't walk into a room and say, "Why did I come here?" Mike is smiling. Where did I put that? Where did I leave it? Am I coming or going? Am I at the bottom of the steps? Am I on my way up or did I just come down? You know, it sounds funny, but we have this problem with memory. And trust me, I'll tell you, as you get older, it gets worse. But to remember the benefits, the blessing of God, shouldn't be one of those things that we forget. Because it's something that he does for us every day.
Amen.
And just the fact that you wake up and open your eyes in the morning is a blessing. That God has given you another day. But we forget. We're made of dust. God made man of the dust of the earth. We know that. And then we have carried that inheritance down to the present day. My wife would look under the bed and she said, from dust we come, to dust we shall return. And there's somebody under the bed either coming or going. We forget. We are forgetful people. Someone has said, I like this, to err is human and to forget is routine. We just forget. That's the way we are. And God knows that. We had a remembrance feast this morning. And the Lord Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And the early church did it every week. Why? Because we forget. And he chose simple things, bread and wine, which were two items that everybody had. They were everywhere. It was nothing hard to come by. And this, so he made it simple for us to do that. He didn't say, I want you to have these elaborate ceremonies. And I want you to wear special clothes. I want you to wear the robes and do all this kind of thing. He just said, do this in remembrance of me. So we did. But I think he knows that should we, I don't know, what would you forget if you only did it once a year? What would you think? Some people said that's often enough. But I don't think so. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. Has God helped you recently in some special way? You know, it's good to remember the times when that's happened. A physical token, maybe taking notes like that lady in Florida did. But he loads us on a daily basis, some of which we're not even aware of. You know, I think it'll be one of the things we might learn when we get to heaven about the accident that didn't happen. Because we were late getting out of the house. We complained about it. We were upset about it. But had we been 5 minutes earlier, it might have been a whole different story. We don't know these things. And I firmly believe that we have, God is protecting us in ways that we don't have any knowledge of. And one day when we get to heaven, we may look back and say, wow, that was great. Well, Matthew Henry was walking down the street in London, I believe it was. It was after dark. And he was attacked by thieves. And they robbed him. They stole his money. So he came home and told his wife about it. And he said, well, but I thank the Lord anyway. She thought he was crazy. She said, thank the Lord that somebody stole your money? And Henry says, no, he said, first I'm thankful that the robber just took my money, not my life. And then he said, secondly, I'm thankful that I had left most of my money home, and he didn't really rob me of much. And then thirdly, he said, I'm thankful that I was not the robber.
Amen.
So he found something to thank God for, even in the midst of something that was unpleasant. That's not easy to do, I can tell you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, here. He says to rejoice evermore, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. God says, I want you to give thanks in everything. My wife had it's still there, I think, this little sign that she had sitting on the window ledge right above the sink, so she saw it every day. And it just simply said, in everything, give thanks. And I always thought, you know, in everything, give thanks is one thing. For everything is another story. Have you ever had a problem in your life where you would find it difficult to give thanks for that event? We're told not to be that way. To give thanks to God. You know, we're going to sit down, most of us, some of us, on Thanksgiving Day. And that's the big dinner day, right? And we're going to give thanks. And usually what we do is we give thanks for the food and thanks for the fellowship. We don't give thanks to God for the blessings. You know, God wants to hear us give thanks. Throughout the scripture, he has inspired those like David to say, be thankful, give thanks, forget not his benefits, over and over and over. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits.
Amen.
We live in a it's hot outside. Admonishment to give thanks in all things simply means that no matter what the current circumstances are, which we might find ourselves, we should not let them hinder us from remembering the blessings and thanking God. Some we're not aware of. There's a temptation at times just to stay home. maybe draw the blinds, pull the covers over your head, forget about the whole thing. It's kind of a mess out there. Insulate yourself from evil. Hard to do. In such a climate, it might be easy to forget that God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Even when it seems the bad guys are winning, he's still on the throne. And he is still providing you with wonderful blessings. Now, I'll have to say from my experience this year, there were times when I thought, this is not much of a blessing. But you know what? I look back on the experience, Walter, and I remember when I made the decision to have my Bible brought to me. Turned out to be a testimony. I had, for all those weeks, a captive audience. The nurses couldn't get away. They had to come in and check on me every hour or so. And they kept rotating, and I had one bunch after another, and I got them on the weekends, a whole new batch. It was kind of fun. And they couldn't get away. And you think, those poor nurses. No, you know what? They wanted to come in and visit. I think I mentioned this to some of you, but when I went in for the hip, that was some time, months after I've had the neck problem, the head nurse from the intensive care unit on the 8th floor somehow found out I was back in the hospital in a different area, came to see me, and sat next to me for 30 minutes and held my hand, and we just talked. She was one that I'd prayed for and talked to. You just never know. The Lord said, you ain't going to like this, but I'm doing this for a reason. And I think, well, maybe that's why I was there, to have the prayer meeting in the operating room, to talk to the nurses while I was there. I still remember the guy that had the prayer meeting in the operating room twice. Oh, you're that guy, yeah. So maybe that's why. But God doesn't do anything capriciously. Look that up when you get home. He always has a purpose. We may not always recognize that purpose, but in the end, it's a blessing. He gets the glory. So even though we walk every day and we breathe and we don't realize it and our heart beats thousands of times and we don't think about it, that's a blessing. We're still able to go, still able to breathe. There was an old preacher, I think I mentioned this, well, I like this, an old Scottish preacher, I think. And he was one who always gave thanks when he got up to speak, always thanked the Lord for everything. There was a meeting in the church and they were praying about specific things. And he said, "O thou who hast given us so much, mercifully grant us one more thing, a grateful heart." A grateful heart. Psalm 118 begins and ends with the exhortation to give thanks unto the Lord. And Psalm 100 tells us that when we are to give thanks when we come into His presence. Philippians chapter 4 says that the requests we bring to Him are to be wrapped, as it were, in a spirit of thanksgiving. This attitude of gratitude is something that helps us remember our abundant blessings. I don't know how you feel today, if you feel blessed, but you are. If you're a believer, God is, even as we speak, pouring blessings out upon you. He is loading you with benefits. Do you feel burdened? Maybe that's what it is. God is loading you with benefits. I fear sometimes our prayer meetings turn into like a shopping list of what we want without a thought that what He's already done for us. There was an elder one time who had spoken to a Sunday school kid, and he said, "Son, do you pray every day?" And the boy said, "Well, not every day." He said, "There's some days I don't want anything." Now, is that the way we look at our prayer? Mm-hmm. I pray because I need this and I want that and so on and so on. Give, give, give. Without thanking Him for what He's already given. Amen. That should be a definite part of our prayer meetings. So instead of always praying, "Lord, give me what I ask for," maybe we should take some time just to thank Him for what He's already done and what He's already given us. I'm guilty. I'm afraid I'm often too quick to ask God for a lot of things, but slow to thank Him for what He's already blessed me with. But as I studied this subject and looked at the thanksgiving all through the Scripture, I realized how necessary it is for us to do that. How would you feel if you did somebody a big favor? You saved them from a burning house, dragged them out, got burned in the process, spent time in the hospital, and nobody said, "Thank you for doing that." The Lord Jesus died to give you eternal life. Do we thank Him? We should every day. But don't forget the blessings. We can always find something to be thankful for. Sometimes we just look on the other side of the coin. But God doesn't need to be advised of our needs. He knows what they are. And if you're like me, your want list and your need list are totally different. My want list is generally a lot longer than my need list. But God blesses us on what He knows we need. And once in a while, He gives you something you want. We all remember to be thankful. There was another preacher, he always liked to preach on thankfulness. And one morning it was the nastiest weather you could imagine. It was rainy, it was cold, it was just so bad. And somebody said, one of his folks said, "What could he possibly be grateful for today?" And the preacher got up and he said, "Thank you, Lord, that it's not always like this." We can find something to be thankful for, even in some bad circumstances. In the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is a good illustration, I think, of this fact. When he wrote the letter, he was in prison because of his service. Prisons were nothing like they are today. There was no good meals and nice cot and a gymnasium and television and some of that kind of stuff. And they were bad, bad places. But the letter that he wrote to the Ephesians is, from beginning to end, it's filled with the spirit of thanksgiving. You read that, you see that. He could say that in the midst of the horrible circumstance he was in at the time. So it's easy to be thankful when times are good. We can give thanks for the faith and love and our position in the Lord Jesus. We can give thanks. But when things get tough, sometimes that overrides our thoughts. And we think of that above what we have to be thankful for. I was reading in the book of Habakkuk recently. I was reminded when our brother James spoke on Habakkuk. And as I read in the book, one of the things I read was regarding the hard times that the prophet was going through. It was bad. Things were really bad. But he wrote this: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. There was a guy that said, things are hard, but I still rejoice in the Lord. When things are hard, you still thank God. It's hard sometimes. I know some of you out there have had some hard times. You may still be having hard times. But let's not forget to give thanks to the Lord. Thank Him for the fact that He's still blessing you, even through those hard times. Now, I'm not going to ask you the question how many of you are truly content with your circumstances and possessions. I don't want to ask that question. I want you to think about it. Some of you might be, but I know where I stand on the question. I think there are probably many that feel the same way. To say, I am perfectly happy. I am perfectly thankful for what I have and where I am and the way things are going. I asked that question to a bunch of teenagers one time. I said, are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with the way you look and with your appearance? One kid, 16-year-old boy, raised his hand. He was perfectly happy with the way he was. And he was one of the ugliest kids you ever saw. But how do you feel about that? Are you fully satisfied in your life? Maybe not. And this is where the hard part comes for me, is to remember to be thankful. In spite of everything that seems to be going against you, are you thankful? And I, as I thought about these things, I began to think about things in my life. I'm thankful for my neighbor. I've got a neighbor across the street. She's from Arkansas. And she knows how to cook Arkansas soul food, and she shows up on my doorstep probably about once a month with beans and rice, you know, stuff like that. I'm thankful for that. And she'll come in and bring this in, put it in the refrigerator for me, and then she'll sit down and we'll talk about the Lord and about things like that. Yep, she came in and sat down the first time. I thought, why is she sitting down? But then she wanted to tell me all the problems she was having in her life at the time. So we had a nice prayer meeting about that. But you never know. And I felt so good when she left. I thought, you know, the Lord, it was a blessing. So the Lord stirred her up to take food to the poor old man across the street, and hey, it turned out to be a blessing indeed. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today that might give us pause. That is not all that good. I'm sure that you know what's going on. But someone has said, of all the people on the earth, Christians have the most for which to be thankful. And I believe that that's true. Thankfulness ought to be a way of life for us. To know Jesus as your Savior is something you should be thankful for every day. We know the beginning from the end, don't we? I know how it's going to end. I read the book at the back. It tells me all about it. We win. The Lord Jesus won it We still have battles, but he won the war, didn't he? Won the victory. And we win because he won. We're in Christ. You're going to have problems. I think I quoted the old English statement. This is for our Englishmen in the group. He that standeth nearest the king is a sure target for the archers. And if you stand with Christ and you proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have some problems. Didn't the Lord say you're going to have some tribulation in this world? We are. It's just going to happen. It doesn't mean you got to like it, but it's going to happen. And you can still thank the Lord for the other good things. Because they never stop. You're still breathing. He loads us with benefits, the scripture says, every day, daily. So this is not a once in a while that he decides to give you a blessing. He loads you with benefits every day. So we need to be mindful of that as we go through our life. Today, we got terrorism and violence and drugs and gangs and all sorts of evil things. That's what sin has done to the world. In Romans 1, verse 21, Paul writes that one of the triggers for the downward collapse of humankind is that they refuse to give thanks to God. And three times in the book of Colossians, he challenges them to be thankful. In Colossians 2, he says they should be abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding, that the word abounding means to overflow, to be superabundant. Don't be stingy with your thanksgiving to God. Well, what time is it? We don't want to be late for the restaurant. The Baptists might beat us. So we'll get around to closing, Lolly. But in closing, I'd like to say this. Romans 7 and 12, it says, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thanksgiving. So God deserves not only our love and our worship, but he deserves our thankful hearts. So when you sit down to your Thanksgiving feast this year, don't just give thanks for the food. Give thanks for everything that you have that God has provided.
Amen.
And he's provided so much. And at the top of the list, eternal life.
Amen.
There you go. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do thank you indeed for all the benefits that you bestow upon us, so much that we don't recognize, so much that we don't realize, we don't understand. But your word is truthful and never lies, and it says that daily we are loaded with benefits. And so, Father, we would be more thankful before your throne. We just pray that you would continue to bless us as you have in the past. We thank you so much for everything we receive, and especially for the salvation that you gave to us out of love, when we were undeserving. And Father, we read that Christ died for us while we were still in our sins. And so we recognize the great love you bestowed, and we thank you for it. So indeed, we express our thanksgiving as we part now, and we just give you that thanksgiving in that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.